This is Gwendolyn McEwen, reading some poems from early and later collections. I'd like to begin by reading a poem which was first published in The Rising Fire by Contact Press. It's called Skulls and Drums. You talked about sound, not footstep sound, ship horn, night cry, but strings collecting, silver and catgut, violas riding the waves of May like soft ships. Yes, and the anchoring senses, the range, the register, the index in the ear, the long measure from the drums of our skulls to the heart and its particular tempo, the music anchored there, gathered in. You will hear me now, I think, while my skin still gathers tones of the sun in, while we ride the bars, the slow passages of these first minutes. While the taut drums of our skulls open and all sounds enter, and the pores of our skin, like slow valves, open. We will hear each other now, I think, while nothing is known, while sound and statement in the ear leave all alternatives. Our skulls like drums, like tonal caves, echo, enclose. While the ribs of our bodies are great hulls, and the separate ships of our senses, for a minute, anchor. For a minute in the same harbor, anchor. The following poems will be from A Breakfast for Barbarians, published in 1966 by Ryerson Press. This is a book of celebration, of appetite and hunger, a sort of affirmation of the world, as this title poem should describe. A Breakfast for Barbarians. My friends, my sweet barbarians, there is that hunger which is not for food, but an eye at the navel turns the appetite round, with visions of some fabulous sandwich, the brain's golden breakfast eaten with beasts, with books on plates. Let us make an anthology of recipes. Let us edit for breakfast our most unspeakable appetites. Let us pool spoons, knives, and all cutlery in a cosmic cuisine. Let us answer hunger with boiled chimera and apocalyptic tea, an arcane salad of spiced Bibles, tossed dictionaries. Oh, my barbarians, we will consume our mysteries. And can we slake the gaping eye of our desires? We will sit around our hewn wood table until our hair is long and our eyes are feeble, eating, my people, oh my insatiates, eating until we are no more able to jack up the jaws any longer, to no more complain of the soul's vulgar cavities, to gaze at each other over the rust heap of cutlery, drinking a coffee that takes an eternity, till, bursting, bleary, we laugh, barbarians, and rock the universe, and exclaim to each other over the table of bones and scrap metal, over the gigantic junk-heap table, by God, that was a meal. For me, the city has two separate aspects. One aspect is grim and the other is quite beautiful. This poem is called The Children Are Laughing. It is Monday and the children are laughing. The children are laughing, they believe they are princes. They wear no shoes, they believe they are princes, and their filthy kingdom heaves up behind them. The filthy city heaves up behind them. They are older than I am. Their feet are shoeless. They have lived 1,000 years. The children are laughing. The children are laughing, and their death is upon them. I have cried in the city. The children are laughing. I have worn many colors. The children are laughing. They are older than I am. Their death is upon them. I will wear no shoes when the princes are dying. But I also find the city very beautiful, and I'm not, I don't feel that the machine or the technological world is my enemy. I think that whatever man constructs must be beautiful if it is a true projection of himself. The metallic anatomy. Civilization means that I am hardened at the knees, yet welded delicate. My mind, a sickle, a crescent tool, strikes a shrill metallic key. Some days I am simply a long scream sculptured in metal, incredible. Some tensile art, precise with joy, breaks my lines, keens me to a tense and resonant thing, and the vats of boiling gold in my brain harden to shrill and intricate shapes. Now I tell you, fall on your knees before the quivering girders of your city. Fall on your beautiful, precise knees beneath me in the black streets. This is not poetry, but clean greed. There is a sculpture which must be made. O citizen, pose for this image of the city. This next poem was written away back in the dark ages when Yuri Gagarin made the first space flight. The astronauts. Now his orbit exceeds three, exceeds me, my narrow turning. His body has become a zodiac of bone, its own myth, a personal cosmology. I would say he orbits himself only, his own body, making his flesh supreme within its sensual belts. But I know there is more than this. I know there is more, nor can dwindle down those outward galaxies to internal atoms anymore.